So the question was asked, how attractive do you have to think a girl is, and how much is that supposed to be a part of the dating? Let's see if we can address this, because this is a very, very important point. So let's begin with what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara says you're not allowed to marry a girl without seeing her, lest you marry her and then discover that she's unattractive. And the Torah says you should love your friend like yourself, and that definitely encompasses your wife. So so you have to see her to ensure that you're attracted. So that's the starting point, that the Gemara wants us to marry someone who we find attractive. Now, my friends don't have to think she's attractive. Strangers don't have to think she's attractive. I have to think that she's attractive. That's the starting point of the Gemara. So far, so good? Okay. Now, let's look at the Gemara as a whole. The Gemara was concerned that after marriage, you will discover that this isn't what you thought it was, because you never saw her. But you only have to see her once for that, right? I think that sometimes this point is underrated in the religious circles. Sometimes people feel like if I'm religious, I shouldn't be looking, I shouldn't be interested, that shouldn't matter. But the Gemara said it does. So why are we arguing with the Gemara? Why do I have to be more religious than the Gemara? Right? The Gemara didn't say I have to marry a model. The Gemara said you have to marry someone that you find attractive.
Poor mothers are...
So, what? Beauty is a beautiful
like
thing.
And,
no problem.
Everyone, they're all loved for being so beautiful.
Yeah. Wait. You added a point. I don't think it says anywhere they were loved for being so beautiful. It says the beauty was right. The beauty is an asset. But it's a double-edged sword. You know, a person who marries a beautiful wife has to worry about the plumber who's going to come and fix something, and he has to worry about her boss, and he has to worry about a lot of things. You know, it's a double-edged sword.
If she's a pious woman, you don't have to worry.
Oh, the Gemara didn't exactly put it that way. Rabbi Meir married a very pious woman, and she ended up falling for one of his students. So I wouldn't be so quick to say that. The Gemara seems to say that even a pious woman can be attracted to a guy who knows how to do it. Okay, so point number one is that it's very personal, but she definitely has to be attractive in the guy's eyes. Point number two, we'll get to that in a second. Point number two is that that's definitely not the first point we have to look at. Guys sometimes come tell me I'm dating a girl, and we've dated once or twice, and I don't think she's so attractive. There was a guy here... goes back a year ago. He was dating a girl and she was overweight, and he said, I don't know, she's overweight, it's not going to change, and I don't find her so attractive. How many dates did you date? Once, twice, and I have to fly back. He was from somewhere in Europe. How long are you going to be here for? Another 2 weeks. I said, okay, why don't you give another 2 dates? Give another 4 dates and go with an open mind. By 6 dates, he was ready to marry her. In the beginning, it bothered him, the fact that she was overweight. And as they dated more, so he suddenly discovered the personality, and he liked her. And it reached a point, by the time he was ready to leave for Europe, that he was ready to propose, and she wasn't ready to commit. And he left, because he realized this is a girl who's just not ready to get married at all. Meaning, she's got a problem. I don't know if she'll ever get married. She has a problem with commitment. I mean, she's got a problem. It became pretty evident as time went on. Like, he was willing to extend his flight, he was willing to do a lot of things, and basically her teachers were in touch with her, and it just became very obvious that she just has a problem with commitment. Not clear, you know, she needs help, and I hope one day she'll get married, but it had nothing to do with him. She said, he's perfect, he's great. Okay. So, I mean, everyone came to the realization she has something to work out. This isn't... She was 28 or 32. I don't remember. She was high up there.
Wow.
I mean,
28 or 32.
She had a problem with commitment then.
I feel bad for her. You know, what's interesting is I didn't know who she was till the end of the story. But it turns out I've been setting her up for years already. I didn't know. I didn't know it was Daniel. He always told me about her without telling me her name. I didn't know it was her. I never saw her. I never knew whether she was overweight, underweight. I had no clue. I didn't know anything. But at the end of the story, when we had to get through to her teachers and have someone talk to her and find out, is there something that could be done to make this work? And then I found out her name. And then it turns out that I'd been setting her up for a while already. But at any rate, so you see that looks, the way people view looks can change. And I've seen this many, many times where a guy can date a girl and date number one, two, he's not too attracted. And by date five, it's already getting better. And the more he likes her, the better the looks are. And I've seen it with girls about guys also. There was a girl who once told us, never set me up with a guy shorter than me. And then her best friend set her up with a guy who was much shorter than her. But he was so charismatic, she married him. And when she came to engagement, everyone said, but you always said you need someone taller than you. She said, yeah, except for him. Okay. So that happens. So point number two is that you have to be open to things. And even if a girl, at first glance, is bothersome to a person, her looks bother him, still he should be open to seeing where it'll lead. Now, point number three is, okay, so wait a second, so how good does she have to look? So on that, different strokes for different folks. Different people have a different gauge and different things that are important to them and interest them. The general description is, you have to feel comfortable with her looks. Meaning a person doesn't have to think she's a model, doesn't have to think she's the most beautiful woman in the world, but he shouldn't think that she's bad looking. A person shouldn't feel like, oh, she doesn't look nice. If he says, well, objectively, I know that she has this blemish and that blemish. And objectively, I know that she's missing two teeth. But I think it's cute. And I know that her smile is off. But I like it that way. You know, a person can say, well, objectively, maybe it's this way. But from my perspective, I like it. I like the way she looks. That's fine.
A person that...
but at any rate, no, I think that on this, a person has to feel comfortable. He has to feel like the person looks nice, like they're comfortable, they can envisage being with this person and enjoying being with them. I wouldn't say accept the flaws. You have to feel comfortable. There shouldn't be something that bothers you. Meaning, sometimes a guy says, you know, she's nice, but it really bothers me that she's overweight, so I'll get her to go on a date, on a diet. That is not the way it works. You have to be comfortable with the way she is. Most women, after they get married, gain weight. And after the first baby, they gain such and such weight. And by the fifth baby, it's different. Right, but... God made it so that every guy, when he's dating, he's blinded from that. And then as married life goes on, God made it so that every guy is blinded, and as the relationship blossoms, so does his love for his wife. And then if it's a correct relationship, that's not even a factor. But that's later on. At your stage of the game, you can't even imagine that. At your stage of the game, you can't imagine. Ask yourself, a guy gets married, and if he's blessed, then a few months into the marriage, his wife gets pregnant. So then, wait a second. But she was the skinniest girl on the block when I married her. And now, 4 months into pregnancy, 6 months, 8 months into pregnancy, we can't sit next to one another on the bus or whatever, you know. Okay. But at the point of dating, a person has to be comfortable. And you'll sometimes date a girl where you can't put your finger on it, but something's bothering you. Something about her looks bothers you. You don't always have to put your finger on it. Sometimes if you put your finger on it, it helps. Sometimes you'll realize she's always wearing colors that I don't like. And then if it's just a question of wardrobe, so some girls don't know how to dress, and they need their husband to choose their clothes for them. So that's you can overcome that. We once had a girl who was... really dressed terribly and never put on makeup and anything, and we got someone to talk to her, and the same guy who was dating her but was bothered by her looks, when she suddenly showed up to a date and she was dressed differently, I never saw the girl. I just heard the complaint, contacted her teachers, had them contact her, but I got to hear from him that suddenly she's drop dead gorgeous and he's head over heels and everything's beautiful. Okay, sometimes all it takes is someone who will take the person shopping and get them different clothes. It does pay, if you could, to notice what's bothering a person. But again, a girl doesn't have to be gorgeous in anyone else's eyes. Sometimes a guy will come to me and tell me, I'm dating this and this girl, and my friends told me she doesn't look nice. We had a guy like that, he was ready to get engaged, but his parents told him that she wasn't good enough looking. So that's the only time I'm willing to look at a girl. And usually, even girls who want me to set them up in shidduchim, I won't accept pictures by email. I don't think it's modest. I'm not willing to look. I don't think it's modest. What am I supposed to look for? But in situations like this, so I shouldn't tell you. It's a secret. But the truth is, I don't look then either. I just take a cursory glance and I say, she's gorgeous. What do you want? And the guy goes shining and he's all happy. I felt so too. And good for him. And then they get married. I shouldn't tell you guys this because now none of you are going to do this.
We'll be
so you'll go to someone else who I hope will be smart enough to do that. No, my policy is I'm never willing to look because I don't think it's right. But for the sake of a shidduch working out, so at least I'm willing to fake like I'm looking. It doesn't matter. The guys always react the same way. They're always like, that's what I thought too, you know? which is fine, okay? If he thinks she's gorgeous, why should his parents' opinion matter? They need to care. They need to have an opinion whether she's gorgeous. So one guy came to me. I want to get married to this girl. Everything's right. She's the best girl I ever dated. But my best friend told me she doesn't look good. And quite honestly, I see there are better looking girls out there. So I did the same thing. He opened up his MySpace account or whatever it was, showed me a picture, and the same thing. I said, I don't know what your friend wants from her. Like, what do you mean? She's fine looking. She's great. Big, shiny smile. He's in seventh heaven. Next thing I know, they're engaged. Okay, good. That's what he needs to hear, that someone felt she was good looking. Okay, good. You know, if that's what he needs, fine. He felt she was good looking. You know, he wasn't taking my word for it, but one friend told him not. So he needed someone else to say yes. Okay, I could be that someone else. But the truth is, it shouldn't really matter what anyone else says, and people should be smart enough to keep their own two cents to themselves. What really matters is what you think. And I don't think anyone has to think that the girl is the supermodel. I know there are guys who tell me that they do. It's very interesting that these guys will sometimes be bachelors their whole lives. I know many guys like that. I know a lot of guys who are serious into learning Torah. But like one guy told me, I cannot erase my past. And I grew up with all these models, and I grew up with TV and everything. And I can't get myself to marry someone who's less than that. And I could tell you, I know a lot of guys who said that. And most of them are still bachelors. They're living in fairy land, because the truth is that no girl looks like the pictures. You know how much makeup and how much they do all these games to make the girl look like that? She doesn't look like that either, if you'd see her in real life. But on the billboards, she looks like that. So at the end of the day, and after 5 years of marriage, no one looks like that. It's just not the way the world works. And it's very sad. I can tell you a lot of guys who are still bachelors. I had one guy who explained it scientifically. He said, you have to understand, my mother's a graphic artist, and I'm an artist, and we're all into art, and things have to be symmetrical by us. He gave this whole scientific explanation why he needs the best-looking girl. Okay, he's still a bachelor. He's in his mid to late 30s. I knew him when he was in his mid to early 20s. Okay, he could have all his theories, and I feel very badly for him. I think that every person has a certain minimum, and I'm not sure that's definable in words, but I think that minimum is a person should be comfortable. A person should be happy to talk to the person and look at them and feel comfortable walking with them in the street. A person shouldn't feel like, gee, I wonder what everyone's thinking when I'm walking with her. Sometimes if a person's thinking that, it's a reflection of himself.
Do you really enjoy being with her?
Yeah, that's usually fine. I can tell you that I usually tell people who are big tzaddikim, before you get engaged, take one peek, take a look, stop for a second and look, and make sure you're comfortable with the way she looks. Because sometimes you could have a big tzaddik who's dating a girl and he has no clue what she looks like. So when I'm dealing with big tzaddikim, I always tell him, before you get engaged, stop on the date before you're ready to propose. Take one look, stop, and tell yourself, now I'm looking, am I ready to marry this girl? And that look could take you a half a second or 2 seconds or as long as it takes, but shouldn't take very long. And I've yet to see the guy who said, yeah, now I realize this isn't for me. That usually doesn't happen. But the Gemara says you're supposed to take one look. Gemara says, see her once. And sometimes you're talking to a person all the time. If you're a modest person, you're not noticing what they look like. It's like you have a Rebbe, or you ask people, does he wear glasses or not? I don't know. You didn't notice that? Yes, if people would ask me if you have a beard or not, I wouldn't know to answer them. I wouldn't know. I know exactly what you look like, but I don't know if you have a beard. Now I'm noticing you have a beard. No, isn't that so? So that's why I do tell people, one time before you're about to get engaged, take a look at the person and tell yourself, is this good or not? I've yet to find the person who says not. But Chazal said to take one look. So Eov said, I didn't even take one look. Eov said, I was worried. Maybe I wouldn't end up marrying her, so why should I know what a girl looks like if she's not going to be my wife? That was Eov's piety. But we're not on that level.
Does that really make sense, though?
When you're Eov, it makes sense.
So we're not expressing any concern because of this generation based upon the fact that today in Orlando there's so many people who are getting divorced, even in the religious community. It's at such a high level, and today there's now people have like more access to freedom and such than they ever did. You know, people are usually it was in a confined to some degree, but right? Today there's no concern. I'm saying in your experience with people who because people are getting married very quickly, under 2 months people are getting engaged, under 3 months, whatever it is. So because we have so much access to things and people are on such a level of gashmis that you haven't seen that as like a concern, like in either direction of like looks, like too pretty, too ugly, whatever. That this is really turning into some type of fiasco to any degree.
Well, the question is the guy's attitude. If after a guy gets married, he's still comparing, he'll never be happy. It doesn't matter how beautiful his wife is.
Right?
If a guy gets married and his focus is on her, so then he'll always be happy. It's a question of attitude. Most guys have a problem getting engaged. Most guys, because they think there's someone better out there. For some guys, they think there's someone prettier.
Right.
For some guys, they just think there's someone better out there. Most guys have a problem when they meet Mrs. Wright. They have a problem crossing the threshold because who knows? Maybe there's someone better out there. Is this perfect? It's very good, but is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. Okay? That same issue that a guy has carries itself over into the engagement period. Where most guys spend much of their engagement period wondering, did I make the right move or not? Yeah, I like her. I'm happy I'm getting married to her. But maybe there's someone better out there. And then most guys find themselves in the first few years of marriage with the same thought. And that's what makes a lot of couples end with divorce.
Is this an abnormal? I was going to say, is this an
saying
abnormal?
It's mind over marriage. Mind over matter. You have to decide. If you're going to focus on making this work, if you're going to focus on the positive qualities of your spouse, if you're going to focus on how lucky you are and what's good about your spouse, you'll be happy in marriage. If you're going to allow yourself to look objectively and start saying, yeah, she's good about this, but she's horrible about A, B, C, and D, come on.
Is this an abnormal rate of
like
divorce?
Jerry Seinfeld, the left toe is bigger than the big toe.
I'm saying, is this an abnormal rate of divorce? Like,
she is
like,
mad at
that's happening today?
For sure it's abnormal.
This is abnormal.
Well, it's a reflection of our disposable society. Everything's disposable.
Yes.
And it's a reflection of our complications with ourselves and our false expectations for marriage.
Right.
Meaning, Rav Pesen Zatzal used to say that the problem that Chozrim B'Tshuva, and today I think he would say it about all of the populace, I don't think it's singled out for Chozrim B'Tshuva. The problem that people have entering marriage is that they enter with Western concepts and not Jewish concepts. I always tell couples, even in areas of intimacy, if your focus is about exciting yourself, so you're always exploring and trying to get better, you're never going to get what you want. If your focus is about making the other person happy, and this is relevant to every area of married life, so then you'll be happy most of the time.
Seeing even in the very religious communities, there's even a high level of divorce. You're saying they're also bringing in Western cultures?
100%.
Where are they?
Why don't you go to all these religious communities and see how the women are dressed? I don't see them dressed
as they were.
Right.
As they should. Mm-hmm.
Things are a little different today.
Saying there's a huge contrast between the Rishonim and how they're doing today. Saying there's huge.
Saying there's a huge contrast between 20 years ago and today.
20 years ago. Mm-hmm.
When I grew up, people didn't dress like they dress today. When I grew up, I'm talking to you 20 years ago.
Religious.
I'm talking about the religious world. Well, there are slants, meaning I'm not going to say that in the 70s religious women weren't wearing minis. I'm not going to say that we didn't have our own issues and that modesty was perfect, but it was different. It was different. At least those who were trying to be observant were different. There was the more within the spirit of the law. Today you have a situation where there's a lot of problems with the spirit of the law. So you have women who are wearing shirts down to here, but they stick to their body, and you can see every limb in them. So you know, it's a bit of a problem. It's not exactly the spirit of the law. Yeah, everything's covered. So, but the materials they're using. And the material is so tight and everything. It's like, it's not right. Look at the wigs. They advertise the wigs. No one will know it's not your real hair.
Yeah.
That's advertisement.
Is a wig? Are the wigs even like? I've heard things that they don't even like. They're not even. You
no,
shouldn't
it comes
even
from
wigs,
like.
You should just wear a regular
no.
covering.
Halachically, they're within the confines of halacha. The spirit of the law. Well, we also have what to work on with the spirit of the law. It's meant. We have a lot of things we don't do with the spirit of the law. I wouldn't fight my wife over it. I'm saying, if one's wife wants to wear a beautiful sheitel, blessed be her. Don't make an issue over it.
Was there a difference between the Chazon Ish and the Mishnah Berurah on how someone should dress? Like I'm saying, like the